And with all of that threatening weather out there, I actually had some people call me today and want to know if he's canceling church because of the hurricane. I said, when the eye gets here, I'll consider it. I tell you, people just want to get out of church, don't they? I'm just kidding. No, they did call. I'm kidding on the other part. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles in the Word of the Lord to Psalms 107 and verse number 1. And again, to Brother and Sister Kwashi, our guest, we welcome them. We're glad they are with us on this beautiful evening. The church, or maybe I should say the Lord, is trying to position us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, where we need to be in Him, that no matter what He chooses to do, we as the church remain faithful and rejoiceful, rejoicing in Him and thankful to Him. Because we serve a God that has never failed us, and He certainly never will. Each and every one of us here tonight as individuals have testimonies of the wonderful things that God has done for us that far outweigh any hardships that we have ever faced. God's goodness and God's mercy. Before I get into the Word, I want to make a quick announcement. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer for this thing on Saturday at 6 p.m. And, of course, the reason for that is we're trying to get a count of how many ladies are going to be there for Sister Kleindienst to minister to, how many men are going to be there for Brother Kleindienst, so that we know how many Subways and stuff to order for food-wise. So my wife will be out there waving it and asking. And if she doesn't get out there in time, because I probably won't hold us but about 30 minutes tonight. So if she's not out there, please grab the sheet on the counter and put your name on that. Will you do that for me? Thank you very much. And I hope that all of us are able to make that, because we will certainly be blessed mightily. Psalms 107 and verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." And we could stop right there. It's just over right there. You don't need any other reason to give thanks to God except that He's good. And the Word of the Lord says He is a God that changes not. That means He's always good. So I should always give thanks, no matter what. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. And then David adds to that in Psalms 107, and he says, "And give thanks, for His mercy endureth forever." If He never blesses me with the pleasures of this world, yet He allows His mercy to abide upon me and forgives me daily of my faults and failures, He deserves my thankfulness as long as I live. Praise God, praise God. Amen. We're going to talk about thankfulness a little bit here tonight. Brother Sapp did such an incredible job last Wednesday. And then our service on Sunday surrounded being thankful to God. And it's going to surround that again this weekend. And if the church can learn to be thankful in difficult times, the blessings of the Lord are going to flow mightily upon His people. We saw His protection. I'm going to wait and let Edward give that testimony. But we saw His protection pulling out of this parking lot on this just last Sunday, which could have been a catastrophe, a death. The same young man that stood up and testified out of our youth group. The incident took place. The devil tries to steal the testimony. But you know what happens when the devil tries to steal a testimony? If you'll stay thankful, it will double your testimony. It'll give double strength to your testimony. Be more impactful. And that's exactly what happened. Lord, thank you for your word. I thank you for what I feel in this building. Your presence is so strong upon us. God, though we face many things in this world of an untoward generation, a world that is going away from you, and the obstacles and the difficulties we face, but Lord, in this building tonight, I feel the spirit of thankfulness. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we're here tonight to say thank you. Thank you. We love you. Thank you because you are good. Thank you because your mercy endures forever. We give thanks for you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's send up that praise a little bit here right now. Just send up that thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for keeping me today. Thank you for your blessings in my life. Thank you for your goodness upon me and my family. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Worthy is the Lamb of God. My, 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 my. Oh, ha, ha. Sweet presence of the Lord. We love you. We adore you tonight. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God that we serve. So many things to be thankful for. I'm so thankful for you, brothers and sisters in Christ, and all the many things that you do, the blessings that you bring to the kingdom of God. I'm so thankful. My wife and I, my family, are privileged to pastor such a wonderful group of people, caring, loving, kind people. Thank you for that honor. This word, thanksgiving, as we said on Sunday, it means to rise and bless. And when I saw the basic root meaning of the word thanksgiving used throughout the Word of God, just to rise and bless. To lift yourself up no matter what circumstance that you find yourself in, and no matter what we are facing, to rise and bless Him. Now, how many of y'all know sometimes that is a tough thing to do? You just don't feel like doing it. You're tired. You might be mad. Somebody just hurt your feelings. Ever have your feelings hurt? I probably hurt 15 people's feelings today. I wear the crown of hurting people's feelings. I'm so glad God's good and merciful. But we get our feelings hurt. You don't feel like rising up and giving thanks to Jesus when your feelings are hurt. situation happens, you get a letter in the mail, and you find out your next door neighbor is suing you because you got chickens in your backyard. Well, you don't want to give up and give God praise and thanksgiving. You're all upset. You want to go get your gun. Go kill his chickens. We go through all kinds of things in our emotions and in our mind. And we face every day, we face all kinds of brand new situations that come into our life. But God never changes. God is always good. And God is always merciful. And David said, I don't praise God because of my circumstances. And I don't praise God because I'm wealthy. And I don't praise God because I'm poor. I don't praise God because Mom was able to send me to Princeton University. And I don't praise God because I went down to the lowly local university in town there, barely even a college. He said, I don't praise God because I'm feeling good or I'm feeling bad. He said, I give thanks to the Lord, not because of me or my circumstances. I give thanks to God because He's good. And no matter what I'm facing, God's still good. He's always good. And then David raised it up a level. He said, I go beyond that. I give God thanks because His mercy endures forever in my life. Praise God. Now, I want to tell you, there is a reason why the devil wants to take thanks out of your mouth. God have mercy. Woo! There's a reason he wants to shut up your mouth when it comes to just giving thanks to Jesus and praising his holy name. Because the devil knows the power in thanksgiving. The devil knows what thanksgiving will do to you. He knows it'll change your attitude. It'll change your lookout. It'll fix your bad spirit. When you're down in the dumps, thanksgiving will pick you up. When you're down in the dumps, thanksgiving will pick you out of your situation, put you in the presence of God, and give you a strength that no devil can take away. Our thanksgiving, I got to pray through all my attitudes and all my thinking and everything and stinking thinking, as they call it. Everything going on in my life. Y'all out there shouting, loving Jesus, and I'm up there like a bullfrog trying to figure out the world's problems. And somewhere about 20 minutes into it, the Holy Ghost will kick me in the gut. Say, hey, buddy, you might want to get with it. And after about 3 minutes of just giving God thanks, all of a sudden all that just load begins just to lift. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, you get a church that knows how to give thanksgiving to God, and you're going to find a church that has a powerful move of the Holy Ghost every time they get together. When we learn how to thank God when the economy's bad and when the economy's good, when we learn how to thank God when things are right or whatever is going on, whatever is happening, that means when we come into the house of God, we can be guaranteed a move of God every time we come together. And when God begins to move, people are healed. People are delivered. Things happen when God moves. Lack of thanksgiving is a sure sign of lack of faith. Lack of faith that God is truly in control and that He can take care of you and He can take care of me. Say amen. So let's go on here. David said in Psalms 107 and 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." So the question is, why and when do I give thanks? And when I give thanks, what does it do for me? What is the power of thanksgiving? The power of being thankful in your spirit. Well, I can tell you one of the things I've learned through the years, that if I'm thankful enough for the first donut, I just might get another one. I remember when I was just a kid, 5, 6 years old, and we were in the Johnson Hall apartments, governmental apartments growing up there, and there was a big bus, Baptist Church, would come pick up all the kids in the neighborhood. And you couldn't drag me out of bed on a Sunday at 8 o'clock in the morning until I learned there was chocolate milk and donuts on the back of that bus. And son, I never missed church. And I'd get on that bus and make my way to the back. And I learned, it didn't take me long to learn that if I was thankful enough for that first sugar-coated donut, that when everybody on the bus got a donut, if I could make that guy like me enough, he'd come back and give me another one if I looked hungry enough. And I think if we'll learn with the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord have mercy, just to be a little bit more thankful for what he's already done for us. And when he gets done passing it all around and he comes by, I just got a feeling like he did with that leper when he said, "Were there not 10 who were healed and delivered, yet only one returned to give me thanks?" There was something about that thankfulness that said, "Hey, I'm going to give you a double portion. I'm not only going to heal you, I'm going to make you whole." My Lord have mercy. And I'm going to tell you what I believe happened there. Those other lepers, they ran and they were healed. That means the leprosy left their body, but their little finger was still gone. Their toe was still gone. Their ear was still off. They were healed. But Jesus looked at the one that came back with some thankfulness. He said, "I'm going to make you whole." Out comes the finger. The ear goes back. The nose. My God, have mercy. If we'll learn to give thankfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what's going on, he's not only going to heal us, he's going to make us whole. There is power in thankfulness. And I think one of the most powerful things about being thankful is that according to the Word of God, thankfulness will usher you into his presence. Let me tell you something. When nothing else will, you ever get on your knees and Sister Williams, get on your knees and go to pray, talking in tongues. Ta-da! And you just feel like an old brass ceiling up there. And you do everything, you know, you think of every trick in the book, trying to fool God into coming in. I'm going to tell you what to do it. If you'll just shut all your business down, put all your petitions aside, put all your complaints aside, put all your problems on the shelf, just push it all aside and just say, "Jesus, I'm so thankful for your goodness. I am so thankful for your mercy." and just begin to send up thanks, asking nothing in return. The word of the Lord tells us in Psalms 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You want to get into the presence of God? Just walk into that place and just lift your hands and begin to give thanks to the Lord. In a service when it seems like God's not moving and everybody's standing there with their hands in their pocket and it looks like we're struggling and you can't seem to reach out and touch God, I want to tell you, if you'll just begin to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a guarantee to coming into his presence. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into its courts with praise. Look at this. Be thankful unto his name, or unto him, and bless his name. How do I get into his presence? Through the power of thankfulness. No wonder the devil doesn't want you to be thankful. He wants you to feel all alone. He wants you to feel defeated. He wants you to feel like there's no escape, no way out. But he knows if God ever shows up, you'll find out that you and God are a majority, and God hasn't left you, God hasn't forsaken you. And when you'll send up thankfulness to him, Jesus will come into your presence. Now let's look at a couple of things here that sometimes can be a little difficult, and we're not going to dig too deep into it, but we are going to kind of ride across the surface. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20, the word of the Lord says, give thanks always for all things. Everyone say, for all things. So Paul the Apostle is writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, give God thanks always. Now, the church of Ephesus wasn't like the Macedonians or the Corinthians, who were, according to the standards of the day, were very wealthy people. The church of Ephesus was a very poor church. And Paul, the apostle, walks into their midst and he begins to talk to them. And you read the book of Ephesians, and it's an incredible book. But Paul begins to speak to them and he tells the church of Ephesus, he says, give thanks always. Give thanks unto God always. And give thanks unto God for or therein all things. No matter where you find yourself, no matter what you are going through, if you will give thanks to God. Now, Paul the Apostle had a revelation. He understood something. And he wasn't saying to the Ephesians, quit complaining or bickering or murmuring, because they weren't doing any of these things. But he was giving them a secret of power. He talks about this in his book to Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 18. He says it again. He says, in everything, he's talking to them, another church that is was very poor. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. People come up to me all the time, what's the will of God in my life? Well, I may not know what the ultimate will of God is, but I know what the will of God is right now, and that is, no matter what you're going through, give God thanks. And I know in the flesh it's not always easy. Sometimes it's very, very, very difficult. But I am here to tell you that no matter how hard it is, if you'll just begin to whisper, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. You are going to instantly feel the power of God. He will come in and visit you at your moment of depression, your moment of oppression, your horrible situation. It might be a death in the family. It might be financially. It might be your health. It might be your mind. I don't know what it is. But if you can get God in the middle of it, you're going to be a lot better off. And the way to get God there is to become thankful. And if you can't thank him for what's happening at the moment, thank him for something he did yesterday. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his goodness. Give him thanks. Somebody say thankfulness. So Paul said to Ephesians, he said, give thanks always for all things. To Thessalonica, he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then to the church of Corinth, a wealthy church, he said, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. Now, this is an amazing verse. For all things are for your sake. Paul the Apostle, he says, and you have to understand, they went through things that we go through back then. I understand it's a different approach, but it produces the same sorrow, produces the same fear. It produces the same anxiety. And Paul said, there's something that you need to understand. God has never left you. He has never forsook you. And all these things are for your sake. God saying, I am working a work in you that can only be accomplished by what I'm doing. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Because if you can get a hold of this, you'll give the devil a black eye. You might even shake his hand and say, thank you for helping me become the greatest, most powerful Christian I could ever be. Sometimes I think the devil is God's biggest tool. And some of you are too. I know he uses me always to test your patience. He's always using me to test how much you can handle without getting mad. For all things are for your sakes. Look at this. That the abundant grace, the grace of God, might through what? Through thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. What is Paul saying here? He is saying what you're going through, God has allowed it to happen for your sake. Now, here's how God gets glory. That no matter what situation you find yourself in, throw your hands up in the air and begin to give God thanks, and the whole world will see. Have mercy. The whole world will see the grace of God working in your life. Instead of you committing suicide, instead of you letting hatred and bitterness get in your heart, instead of you causing strife and division in your family, instead, your hands are in the air. I give you thanks, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I praise you. I adore you. Paul said, when you do that, the glory of God is going to shine. Everybody around is going to see God's glory. That's why the devil wants to take thanksgiving out of your heart and thankfulness out of your mouth, because it brings glory to God. Brings glory to God. I'm going to tell you, thanksgiving will bring peace to your heart. How's that old song go? I only know one word. It says, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Come on, that's all I know. You got to sing it. My Lord, have mercy. Let's lift our hands and give thanks to the Lord. God, we just thank you. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 You're wonderful. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Thank you, Jesus. All the way back in the book of Leviticus, the word of the Lord says in Leviticus chapter 7, verse number 11, and this is the law, listen to this, this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings. This is the law, which he shall offer to the Lord. Verse 12, if he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And the rest just goes about talking about the bread and the cakes and stuff like that. But the sacrifice of peace must be accompanied with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. If you're coming before the Lord and you are seeking for peace in your life, then it must be accompanied with thanksgiving. So if I'm coming before God with a situation that has been troubling me, disturbing me, has occupied my mind, when I try to lay down and go to sleep at night, I can't get to sleep and I wake up with it on my mind, I'm preoccupied, I'm worried, and I want to come before God and I want to come and ask God that I want some peace. I need you to take this away from me. When we do that, we are commanded of God that if we're going to come ask God for peace in our life, we must come with thanksgiving. We must bring that sacrifice to the Lord accompanied with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving of what? Well, thanksgiving of just anything, I guess. Thanksgiving, as David said, that the Lord is good. Thanksgiving that his mercy endure forever. Thanksgiving for how he's already cared for you, already taken care of you. But if you're going to come to God with a situation about anything, you need to accompany that with thanksgiving of something that God has already done. Look what Paul says to the church of Philippi, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. Worry about nothing. Be anxious about nothing. Be preoccupied about nothing. Oh my God, have mercy. Let nothing captivate you. Let nothing get a hold of your heart where you can't pull it out. Let nothing trouble you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, when am I supposed to be thankful? Always. Be thankful always in all things, the word of the Lord says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, I'm telling you, if we'll learn this, we'll reach another dimension in our prayer life. If we'll learn to bring thanksgiving with our prayers, bring thanksgiving with our supplications and our intercessions. My God, have mercy. And Paul said, you do this with everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, do what? Let your requests be made known to God. So if I'm going to bring a request to God, I need to bring it with thanksgiving. And some of our requests are very troubling. So Paul starts out by saying, don't be troubled, don't be anxious, don't be worried about this thing. Take it to God with prayer, supplication. Layer it with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And when you do that, and the peace of God, my Lord have mercy, the peace of God which surpasseth all understanding shall gird up your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus.
My Lord, have mercy. When we learn to bring thanksgiving into our prayers, into our supplications, with our requests, God is going to bathe us with His peace. We're going to know everything's going to be all right.
Woo. So thanksgiving will bring peace into your life. If we'll learn to be thankful. In Psalms chapter 18, verse number 48, David lists a few things here of being thankful. 48 and 49, I'm not reading the whole verses, but just parts of the verse that deal with thanks. And David said, "Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee." And these are just a few. When you go through the Word of God and find all of the things that people were thankful to God for. And these here, these are just David. In Psalms 30 and 4, he says, "And give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." David said, "When I remember about your holiness, I give thanks." You say, "Well, Pastor God, how can we do that?" I tell you right now. The Word of the Lord says that God brought me out of darkness into His marvelous light. And when God brought me out of darkness, brought me out of worldliness, into His righteousness, into His holiness, I can be thankful for that, because by doing that, He spared my life. He has protected me. How many of you ever heard he got in trouble because he's hanging around the wrong crowd? It happens all the time. He got killed and he wasn't even a part of it. No, but he was hanging around the wrong crowd. He shouldn't have been with the gang who was being shot. It's not a good place to be. And if he'd have been living in the righteousness of God. I remember a story. Brother James came home. This was years and years and years ago. He came home and they had gotten a fight in a bar room. And some guy came up behind him and smashed him in the back of the head with a beer mug. And it didn't crumble like it does in the movies. It just buzzed his head open. And he went down to the floor, and they had to stitch him all up in his head, and it gave him a little semi-concussion and all that stuff. And thank the Lord, at this time I had done gotten in church and prayed through. And I said to myself, because three of my brothers were there, and I said to myself, I said, "Lord, if it wasn't for the fact that you had brought me out of darkness, I'd have probably been right there with them in that same ballroom fight, no telling what would have happened." I look at my past. I look at my friends that kept down the road of darkness. One of my friends, car accident, burned alive in the car, had been drinking. Another friend stabbed to death. The rest of them don't even know how to count anymore. Their brains are just fried with drugs. And when I see all that, I say, like David, "Oh God, I thank you for your holiness. I thank you for your righteousness. I thank you that you brought me out of darkness, that you took me out of that lifestyle, God. You have delivered me. You put on me the breastplate of righteousness, Lord. The fiery darts of the devil cannot penetrate, because you changed my life, God. You have protected me. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my children. I thank you for my marriage that's blessed, God. And it's all blessed because of your holiness. It's blessed because of your righteousness." My Lord, have mercy. I don't want to yell about this, but I want to tell you what. I get so angry. I get so upset when parents, one of their young boys or their young girls or just other family members, a young man or a young girl, pray through, come out of drugs, cut their hair, fix themselves up, get out of all that junk, and then all of a sudden mom and dad or brother and sister rise up and begin to yell and scream and holler and say, you're a part of some stinking occult. You're crazy. You've gone insane. Where were you when they were on drugs? Where were you when they were out in the world? Where were you when they were doing all of these things of vandalism? You didn't care when they were in darkness. But now they're in light. All of a sudden it stirs you up. I'll tell you why. Because you don't want the light shined on you. God's righteousness in them makes it so apparent of the darkness that's in you. They should have been rejoicing. They should have been saying, God, thank you for saving my son. Thank you for touching my brother. Thank you for saving my sister, bringing her out of that old junk, fixing her up. People condemn holiness because men and women want to live righteous and just live godly in a world of ungodliness. Leave me alone. Let me live righteous if I want to live righteous. Go drink your beer, smoke your drugs, die in your hell, but I'm going to make it to heaven, and Jesus is my God. And I'm thankful, I'm thankful, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for His holiness, because without holiness no man shall see the Lord. I don't know how I got on that tangent. You get all stirred up and act like God's taking your lollipop from you. God's just trying to save you. Because you don't understand that we fight not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, rulers and darkness. And there are spirits that are attached to these things. And their ultimate goal is to destroy you. So David said, I give thanks when I remember about His holiness. And David looks at his life and all the mistakes he made and all the horrible things he did. But God kept him and pulled him out and pulled him through and brought him in. And David looks at his past and he says, oh God, I give thanks when I think about your holiness. 69 and 30, he says, we will magnify him with thanksgiving. You can't blow God up more than when you're just being thankful. You're just, that's one of the highest forms of praise. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good to me. You bless me. Fever in your body, sickness in your body. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good to me. Bank account zero. Bills are due. House being repossessed. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good to me. The devil can't comprehend that. He doesn't understand that. You're supposed to be bitter and hurt and mad and angry and said, you're thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Devil can't touch that. He don't know what to do with you. What do you do with someone that's in the worst trial of their life and all they do is walk around all day saying, thank you, Jesus? What do you do with that? How do you handle that? He don't know what to do with you. Psalm 75 and 1. And I'm going to wrap this up here in just a couple of minutes. Do we give thanks unto thee, towards the end of that verse, for that thy name is near? I give thanks to you, Lord, because when I do, it brings your presence thy name becomes near. And if anybody understands the power of the name, it's David. He said, you come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. See, David understood that when the name of God was near, he could defeat any enemy. When the name of God was near him, the odds became in his favor. No matter how it looked to the world, no matter the world looked down there in that valley and there was this little old guy up against this gigantic of a man who the Bible says was a warrior from his youth. And here's David, he's still in his youth. David's got a little girdle on and some old flip-flop sandals and a little pouch off to the side and a sling with a rock. And he's running towards this gigantic man, little over 9 feet tall, and has armor that weighs total altogether over 750 pounds. His armor alone weighed five times what David weighed. And he's running towards this giant of a man that's got a big old spear, big old head on that spear. They call it a weaver's beam. And this powerful man, and he's running at him. And that giant saying, I'm going to tear you apart. I'm going to feed your flesh to the bones. Boy, you're an embarrassment. And he's up there bowing his muscles. And David is running. He's saying, you come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And he let that right go. And we know the story. We know the story. David said, I give thanks because when I give thanks, the name of God is near me. And when the name of God is near me, I can win any giant. I can win any battle. I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to overcome this thing. If I can get the name of God near me, it doesn't matter my situation. It doesn't matter what I'm in. It doesn't matter what all comes, whatever direction. And everything looks so bad and so negative. I'm going to give thanks because when I do, God's going to show up. His name's going to be near, and I'm going to win this thing, and the world is going to see the glory of God. Because when I give thanks, it brings glory to the name of Jesus. David said it's a good thing to give thanks. Psalms 92 and 1, Psalms 92 and 5, and I'm closing. He said, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. In Psalms 119, verse number 62, and I'm gonna end with this. Let's stand to our feet. Remember what the word thanksgiving means. Rise and bless. Psalms 147 and 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Isn't there a song go something like? It goes, thanks, thanks, I give you thanks. Oh, done. Come on now. There it is. That's at peace. I give you thanks. Let's sing it again. Thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all done. I'm blessed. Soul has found rest. One more time, everybody, everybody, everybody. Let it bellow out. Sing it to him. Sing it to him. Thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all you done. Yeah, so has found rest, oh Lord. My Lord, have mercy. Woo. Do you feel it? Do you feel it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you thanks tonight, Lord. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Some of us facing all kinds of things, God, but we give you thanks. Trouble in our life, but we give you thanks. Hardships, but we give you thanks. Persecutions on all sides, but we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you tonight. We send up thanksgiving before you, God. We bring our prayers and supplications to you, Lord God, but we do it with thanks. We do it with thanks. We give you thanks. Oh, yes. And the peace of God, the peace of God, the peace of God is going to come upon us. The name of God is going to come near us because we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Woo!
Lord have mercy.
Woo! Oh, yes! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! We give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks. Give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We don't understand it, but we give you thanks. But the Lord says, that's all right, because if you'll give me thanks, then my peace, which surpasseth all understanding, shall gird up your heart and your mind. You won't understand it, but that thanks will bring a peace into your life. That'll give you the strength to go on. It'll give you the strength to go on and wait on God till God's ready to do whatever it is that God's going to do. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. What a beautiful, beautiful spirit in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. You know, I think the entire history of Israel would have been different if they would have learned to be thankful. And they found themselves in the desert, no water. Instead of complaining, if they would have just looked back and said, thank you, Lord, for delivering us from the Pharaoh's army. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us across dry ground. Over and over and over, instead of being thankful, they were bitter and complained. There's power in just being thankful. What do you say we put God to the test on that? Let's just start being thankful in all things. For all things. Praise God. Amen. I love you. Greet one another. Tell them thank you for coming. And thank you for leaving. On the way out, remember the sign-up sheet, ladies, if you will.